Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever this is. I am so happy you are joining me. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, and this is Coffee and Christ. I am here at Odds Cafe for the second straight week live. So if you are in the Asheville area, well, by the time you're hearing this, I'll probably be gone. But anyway, every Thursday, I should be down here between 7:30 and 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time to record this podcast, and I'd love to have you join me and participate. Who knows where this is going to go? Hopefully we'll get a following. I love Odds Cafe. Audrey is the owner. She's owned this place for 9 years. The plan is to get her on the podcast at some point. You all can meet her, but I encourage you, if you're coming to Asheville, if you live in Asheville, check out Odds Cafe. We've got some great food, coffee, they even have beer in the evenings. They're open till 8 o'clock. It's just got a great vibe. It's a love place and space. So let's get right into it. If this is your first time joining me here on the podcast, this is Coffee and Christ, where I share with you my daily practice. Once a week, I'll share it with you here on the podcast, and nothing is rehearsed. It is literally as I read it, I will react and share with you. So let's jump right into the verse of the day. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. And that is from Nahum. Today's the 15th, isn't it? Nahum, which I wasn't even aware of. Nahum 1:7. Okay, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. I mean, that says it all. Very straightforward, direct. And I think, you know, the refuge in times of trouble. We know there's going to be trouble in this world. I mean, that's what this trouble is all about, or this world is all about. Sin came in, Adam and Eve, Satan tempted them, and that's why Jesus had to come back. So we know we're going to have trouble. But I think the second sentence then, He cares for those who trust in Him. That's the key. We have to take the first step. I have to take the first step. You have to take the first step. And trust in Him. And if you and I trust in Him, then He will care for us. He doesn't care for us just willy-nilly. We have to take that step. So I think that's the powerful part of this verse. We have to trust in Him first. Yeah, so it's just not an automatic deal there. All right, so now I'm gonna save that. There we go. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll probably see that verse referred to on my Instagram story. Now I'm going to go to a plan next. All right, this is it's titled The Holy Spirit. Let's look at the first weapon Jesus used when He was tempted by the enemy. The story of Jesus' temptation begins in Luke 4, 1-2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. So isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. So what I take from that is, and a little bit of knowledge about this, is that Jesus needed this test. He needed this to serve His Father the way that He was called to serve. Just much like we are going to experience tests. We're going to be tempted by the evil one. It's going to happen. But the Spirit is with us. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. Unlike God, Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be in more than one place at a time. Satan himself went to war with Jesus. No, I didn't know that about Satan. Just making a note here. That is fascinating to me. Satan himself went to war with Jesus, but for the rest of us, he sends someone else on his behalf. As is often the case with the demonic, no one invites it, but instead, it really shows up in a pushy and bossy way, demanding to be dealt with immediately. Oh, that is powerful. They show up and demand to be dealt with. You know, think about life. Those situations where circumstances show up and demand to be dealt with. Wow, that's how he works. God never works that way. That is a big insight for me. Show up and demand to be dealt with. No one invites it, but instead it rudely shows up in a pushy and bossy way, demanding to be dealt with immediately. That is the bomb. I really love this. I'm making a copy of this. Again, this is probably not the best podcasting etiquette, but guys, I just do this naturally. It's not a show. This is what I would normally be doing. So I do something called We Wednesday, where we jump on YouTube and we broadcast live aha moments. And this may show up as one of those aha moments on We Wednesday. So every Wednesday at about 11:45 a.m. is when we do that. Okay. I'm just copying and pasting this, and then we will continue. All right, here we go. Like Moses from Exodus 34:28 and Elijah, 1 Kings 19:18, Jesus spent 40 days alone in the wilderness. By the time the dragon showed up for war, Jesus had reached the limits of his humanity. And this we learn when our enemy is likely to hit, when we are hungry, isolated, and tired. Living out of his full humanity, the Lord Jesus was vulnerable. We are as well. Anytime we find ourselves hungry, isolated, or tired. To make matters worse, Satan and demons do not share the limitations of our humanity. They do not get the flu, need a day off, or age. Our humanity has limits that spirit beings do not share. How can you as a human being with finite energy possibly win a battle against spirit beings who have the benefit of being able to war against you day and night without needing a meal, nap, glass of water, or day off? Your power is finite, but the Spirit's power is infinite. Boom. Why did Jesus' temptation occur in a barren, lonely, desolate wilderness? Sometimes following the leading of the Holy Spirit means we, like Jesus, find ourselves in poverty rather than prosperity, trouble instead of tranquility, and hardship instead of happiness. It just goes to show that the surest place to be is in God's will. Even if it's in a wilderness, it is better to have the Spirit and nothing else than to have everything but the Spirit. Oh, for sure. So, I mean, that's it. As we talked even on the verse of the day, we need to choose the care of God. We need to choose it. So this, you see how this dovetails with this devotional here? Better to have the Spirit and nothing else than to have everything but the Spirit. So good. Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and then was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Boom. Luke 4. So that, you know, that is one that it took me a while to really understand. Again, I'm pretty new to Jesus, comparatively speaking to a lot of folks. But it's so fascinating. It's the more you read and the more you learn and the more you study and meditate on Jesus' teaching and his life, the more this stuff makes sense. So devil's trying to tempt Jesus with food because he's hungry. He says, man does not live on bread alone. Oh. He's on the Spirit and Jesus. That's what we live on. So good. All right, we're going to save that verse as well. Next. Oh, that's it for that plan. All right, so that was really cool. So these are the weapons to defeat the devil. The devil is real, y'all. Just in case you don't know, the devil is a real thing. All right, let's take a look at the next devotional here. We've got enough time to do that. Lord, I sometimes think too much about the glass being half empty. I pray that you would open my eyes to the good things that you are doing in my life and the world today. Yes! Oh my gosh! I tell you, I am not a glass half empty guy. I am a glass half full guy, 100%. Okay, so we're going to read Isaiah 61, 1 to 11. Let's see what that has to say. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's got to be Jesus, right? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. It will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's the thing, you know, this world can be a dark and debilitating place. I lived in the world for most of my life. You know, working hard, struggling, trying to do everything in my own power. And it is overwhelming. Can be overwhelming until you find the secret. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery, wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. I love that. Just to know that God hates robbery and wrongdoing. He hates it. That's a strong statement. To hate something, right? So that is something to take faith in. And of course, in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with him. And that was done way back in Isaiah, Old Testament, and that covenant stands today with us. because our God does not break his covenants. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring, among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteous and praise spring up before all nations. It's happening. It's coming. I love it. Okay. Reflect. It's about time for some good news. After all the gloom, doom, and suffering described by the prophets so far, it's nice to read about freedom, comfort, and a time of the Lord's favor. Now that feels better, but this is much more than a feel-good passage. It gives us a vision for the restoration of God's people. The really good news is, in these verses, is that God never abandons his people. That's what I just talked about, the covenant. It still exists today. The really good news in these verses is that God, as we've discovered, never abandons his people. As we've discovered, the Israelites have been attacked and taken captive by powerful nations around them. Their key city and temple had been destroyed, and all of it happened because they had sinned against God. But here, Isaiah describes the time when everything would be put right, and the Israelites' despair would be turned to praise. This underscores two aspects of God's character. First, he is a God of hope. Regardless of what we've done, or regardless of what messes we make of our lives, with God we can have a fresh start and a new future. That doesn't mean all our trials will magically go away. Some problems take years to be resolved, some never completely disappear. But even so, God is always at work for our ultimate good, as he was for the Israelites. A second aspect of God's character is that he passionately loves justice and hates sin. Yes. So, start new. And God loves justice and hates sin. The surest way to experience God's blessing is to be passionate about his priorities. So we need to be the same way. I need to love justice and hate sin. And I would venture to guess that would follow for you as well. This passage had special significance for Jesus. He used it as the mission statement for his life on earth. Near the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus stood and read this passage in the temple, boldly proclaiming that he had fulfilled its words. Jesus understood that he came to offer God's forgiveness and hope to those held captive to sin, and that bring God's justice to the poor and oppressed. That's the good news. How would you describe the mission statement for your life? If you can, take a few minutes to write. Well, mission statement for me right now is isolation to community. I help people, our community helps people go from isolation to community, where the next step beyond is freedom. We believe that in community, if you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, it's fundamental. Community is fundamental to people who follow Jesus. And community is fundamental to people who don't follow Jesus. And I believe if you get in a community of people who are for you, don't judge you, in harmony with you, like Life Transformed Community, and you don't follow Jesus, you will get swept up in that feeling, and you'll see from the way people are treating you that, wow, maybe I'll give this Jesus thing a try. Okay, the prayer. God, I want my life to count for you. Please help me to see clearly the mission you've called me to, and fill me with your spirit to accomplish it. So good. That's exactly it. Discussion questions. For you, which of the prophecies in this section is the most significant proof that Jesus was the Messiah, and why? I mean, just the fact that Jesus quoted this scripture specifically is the proof for me. people of Israel felt the pressure of hostile armies on all sides. Jesus felt the pressure of being opposed and crucified. What pressures do you face for your beliefs, and how do you cope?
You know, I don't really face pressures for my beliefs. I think people right now are so apathetic that that's what happens. It's just the apathy. So I don't really face any pressure for it, but it's the apathy that I face that stirs me to continue to boldly proclaim the gospel. Yay. And then, have you ever felt that God has abandoned you? No, because God was such a revelation in my life. I've never felt like He's abandoned me. What tempts you to give up hope for the future? Nothing. What things give you the most hope for the future? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He came to bring good news to the poor, the prisoners, the blind, and the oppressed. How could you be more like Jesus in this regard? You know what? Anybody who isn't following Jesus is poor, they're prisoners, they're blind, and they're oppressed. So that's what we're called to do, is go make disciples, teach others to teach, let's be the light, all of those things. Why do you suppose it was necessary for Jesus to go through such incredible suffering? Well, He wanted to make sure that He suffered just like we suffered, so He could have that human experience and step in for us on the cross to reconcile us with His Father. Jesus seemed to claim the passage in Isaiah 61 as His personal mission statement. What's yours? Well, you know what mine is already. Isolation to community. Create love, places, and spaces all around the world. I think that's going to do it for today. Ran a little bit longer, but boy, oh boy, was this rich. I hope you got something out of this. I hope that my prayer is that you got something out of this, and that this will sustain you and inspire you to that next step, whatever that next step is in your life. Get in touch with us. We've got an amazing community. We've got a challenge coming up. All the information will be in the show notes, so you can get a hold of us. But respond, share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, like it, do all the things, because we are doing some kingdom work here. So if you're inspired, you want to help create this heaven on earth feeling like we have here at Odds Cafe, then join us and just reach out and become part of our community. All right, love y'all. See you next time.